Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Are you looking for a thought to share at your Seder? Then please join us for Haggadah Insights this Wednesday night, March 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern with Chana Cohn, Rebbetzin Rivka Siegel, Dr. Chaya Sima Konigsberg, and Ayelet Shachar. Sign up at ouwomen.org/Pesach26. And Mazel Tov on the upcoming completion of Sefer Shoftim. Join us at the Siyum with Mrs. Chana Leah Rappaport this Thursday, March 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern. Register at ouwomen.org/Siyum. Wishing you a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Torah Timachanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Leah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yudches, Chapter 18. In the last Perek, we learned about Micha, who had a home for Avodah Zarah, even though at the beginning he was reluctant to do so. A Levi happened by. According to Chazal, this Levi was the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was convinced to become the priest. This whole story of Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha, may have faded into obscurity if not for Shevet Dan. Shevet Dan have been given a portion in the land. It was on the west coast, really roughly where Tel Aviv, Yafo, Bet Shemesh are today. But there wasn't, they kept on being pushed back by the enemies. The Plishtim were near there. They didn't really have enough room to live. And so they're going to send out now some spies to see if they could find better land that they can capture, which indeed they do, all the way to the north of Eretz Yisrael, which is why often in Tanakh it's repeated Midan va'ad Beersheva. So even though Dan originally started on the southwest, they did have, as we're going to see now, they're going to capture a piece of land all the way in the north. Beersheva is the southernmost portion of the biblical Eretz Yisrael. And this, the fact that Dan is still looking for its Nachla now, still looking for a place to live, gives credence to the opinion that although this story is written at the end of Sefer Shoftim, it happened at the beginning. In either case, the Perek will begin with the justification or the reason behind why, how this can even be happening. Bayamim ha'heim ein melech b'Yisrael. In these days there is no king. It repeats the reason that without clear leadership, whether we're talking about the days between the death of Yehoshua and Asniel, as the opinion of Chazal, or if it's written in the proper place, like the Abarbanel after Shimshon, if we don't have a good leader, people, even good people, can do things the way they see fit and make terrible mistakes. Vayamim Mahem ein melech b'Yisrael, there's no king in Yisrael, uvayamim Mahem, and in these days, Shevet Hadani, the Shevet of Dan, mevakesh lo nachala lashevis, they're looking for a place to live, ki lo nafla lo ad hayom hahu, betoch shevtei Yisrael benachala. They didn't have an appropriate or big enough place to live amongst the tribes of Bnei Yisrael. So in Pasuk Beis, vayishlechu Bnei Dan mimishpachtam chamisha anashim miktsosam anashim Bnei Chayil, mitzara umeeshtol. So each family is going to send a spy. They're going to send five spies to go l'ragel es haaretz, to be meraglim, to be spies. According to the Malbim, this type of meraglim, when it uses the words l'ragel, what it means is that they're looking for the military weakness of the place, to see how to fight the land, where is the vulnerable place, ulechakra, and to investigate it. And they said to them, go and look through the land and see what you can find. And they happen upon Har Ephraim to the house of Micha. As we said, Micha excels in Hachnasas Archim, Vayalinu Sham, and they are going to sleep over there. In Pasuk Gimel, they are horrified to see Yehonasan. Hema im Beis Micha, they come to the Beis Micha, Behema hikiru es kol hanar halevi. And they recognize, they hear, a nar halevi there. He's doing his work in the house of the Avodah Zarah, Vayasuru sham, and they turned to there, meaning they went to the place where this house of Avodah Zarah was on the property of Micha, Vayomru lo, and they said to him, now they're going to say to him three different phrases. It seems to be a little bit repetitive, but we'll talk about it. Mi havi'acha halom. Who brought you here? Uma ata osebazeh. And what are you doing in this? Uma lechapo. And what do you have with this? What are you doing here? So again, a little bit repetitive. But it seems that they recognize him as a grandson of Moshe. And actually, according to Rashi, use words that were used in the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mi havi'acha halom was said to Moshe, al tikrav halom, don't come too close to there. Ma'ata oseb bazeh, which is strange wording, what are you doing in this? And Hashem says to Moshe, ma'zeh biyadecha, what is that in your hand? Uma lecha po, and what do you have here? And Hashem says to Moshe, ba'ata po amod imadi, and you should stand here with me. This is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim when they are repeating the story of Matan Torah, and Hashem says, no, you're going to stay here with me. These three phrases are familiar, would be familiar to this priest, to the Levi, the grandson of Moshe, from the story of his grandfather, as written in the Torah, as if they were saying to him, hello, how did this happen to you? Like, how did you end up here? And we see, but then we're going to see something. They're horrified to see that Yohanan is here, but just like Micha, who was at the beginning, didn't want to get involved, and then the Levi didn't want to get involved, and they both understood that they shouldn't. At the beginning, B'nai Dan were exactly the same. They were horrified, but then slowly the shock evaporates and they too will be dragged in. What happens is the Levi basically tells them, I'm doing this for money. I needed a job. I found a place here. And so they say to him, unbelievably, Vayomulo, and they say to him, Sha'alna be'elei kim, ask. I'm reading it in with the name of Kedusha, even though it's controversy. Were they saying, ask your Avodah Zarah, and then I'd have to read it, Sha'alna be'elohim? Or were they still feeling somehow this mixture of, we know it's a Pesel Masecha. I mean, we see it. We see that it's just an idol, but the strange mixture of, can you ask Hashem? Vin Eida, and we'll know, Hatatzliach Darkenu Asher Anachnu Holchim Aleha. Is our path that we're about to embark on to find this place, is it going to be successful or not? Vayomer lahem ha-kohen, and the kohen says to them, lechu l'shalom, go in peace. And again, nochach Hashem darkechem asher talchuba. I'm reading it b'shem Hashem. It is also a controversy. It's questions. All the mefarshim, all the commentators ask about this. Targum Yonasan says that this is talking about Hashem. So the Levi seems very confused here, but he gives them a promise. Go in peace. Hashem is going to direct you to the right path. And he says this correctly because they come to a place called Laish, which again is in the north, and they see a calm city, nothing missing. No real ruler there. There's no peace treaties with other countries. The people, the inhabitants who live there have no fear. They're not suspicious of anything. And they realize we can take this over easily. And they go back home and they tell the other people in Dan that we found a great place. And when you're going to get there, you're going to see. And pasuk good, kevoachem, when you come, tavo al am boteach, you're going to come to a secure nation, va'aretz rachvas yadayim, and the land is large, there's plenty of space for us, kinasana elokim bi'etchem. Hashem is giving it in your hands. Makom asher ein sham machsar. There is nothing missing at all. Kol davar tova asher ba'aretz. It has all the good of this land. So the people of Dan are very excited about this, and they send 600 men to fight. So together with the five original spies, 600 men go back, and on the way, they pass once again the house of Micha. And when they get there, the five men do not say words. They don't tell them what to do, but they just say in Pasuk Yedalet, verse 14, Hayedatem ki yesh babatem ha'ela, do you know that in these houses there is ephod, utrafim, upesel, umasecha, the whole gamut of Avodah Zarah, everything you need to build, to set up a house for Avodah Zarah, va'ata, and now de'u matasu. You should know what to do, meaning they don't give them specific instructions, but they basically say, we can take the whole deal. We can get the pestle and the ephod and the coin. Everything is ready for us. All we have to do is go and take it. Again, it's so odd, but these are people who, perhaps out of desperation, perhaps because they're moving to a new place, perhaps because they're going to go to battle, they're willing to appease the gods to do do whatever it takes to get to that place where the gods are going to be satisfied with them. We've seen situations throughout Tanakh of people even willing to sacrifice their own children for this. Hashem tells us, what I want is your closeness. What I want is for you to do my ratzon. I want you to do what I want you to do. Sometimes people, certainly back then when the passion for Avodah Zarah, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was still alive, but I think we still struggle with this today, because people feel like it's easier to do all kinds of outside acts rather than really work on myself, rather than really change myself inside. It's easy, just go and steal the whole thing, the coin and the pestle, to what? To appease Hashem, but of course it makes no sense. Hashem doesn't want this. This religious zeal can give room for all kinds of perversions in the name of religion, as we saw throughout our history. To make religion man-made and enthusiastic, but that's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to follow the Torah and to do the mitzvahs. Here, what the five men of Dan are saying is, you can steal, you can communicate with idols, and it's all okay because you're doing it to serve Hashem. But of course, we're not. Now, the way the story actually seems to happen is, it seems that these five men go and reconnect to the Levi, and they tell him about the 600 soldiers that they brought. And the Levi goes out to meet the 600 soldiers, and while he's talking to them, the five men go back to the temple, and they steal the pesel and the ephod and the trophim and the maseicha. They steal the whole business. The Levi realizes that something's going on, and when he goes back to see what's happening, they say to him, Pasuk Yutes, verse 19, Vayomulo, hachareish, be quiet, sim yotcha al picha, put your hand on your mouth, velech imanu, come with us, and we will make you a very important person. You will be our high priest. Would you rather stay here and be a kohen just for one man? We're offering you to be the kohen, the priest, for an entire shevet, for an entire tribe in Bnei Yisrael. They tell him, don't shout, don't alert Micha, just come with us. And he agrees to go with them. Why? As we see, he doesn't really care. He started to work here because he needed something to do. And their argument made sense. If you're just looking for somewhere to be and something to do, well, it's much more prestigious to come and to do it with us. When Micha discovers the theft, he runs after them, Pasuk of Gimel, verse 23, Vayikru'u el b'nei Dan, and he calls out to b'nei Dan, Vayasebu p'neihem, and they turn around, Vayomru l'micha, and they say to Micha, Malacha kines akta, what are you shouting about with righteous indignation? What's your problem? And of course he answers them, and he says, Vayomru es elahai asher asisi lakachtem, without realizing the irony in his words, the God that I made, well, if you made them, what are they worth? But the gods that I made, you took, Vesa coin, and you took the coin too, Vatelchu, and you went, Umali od, what else do I have? Umaza tomru elai malacha, so what right do you have to tell me why am I screaming? Of course I'm screaming. How pathetic and how sad these words are. What else do I have? In my role as a teacher of the Churban of Europe, of the Holocaust, I ask my high school students to pack a bag as if they have an hour to leave their homes, actually do this work, and they have to do it and they have to take a picture of it. You have one knapsack, and I want you to pack a bag as if you were leaving your home forever. And then I ask them to write their reflections of how it felt for them to do this, to actually go through this. And what I want them to come out with, and many of them do, is that it's not the objects that make the difference to them. The things that they spend so much time purchasing, thinking about what they're going to buy, or the comfort things that they have in their home. They can leave all that behind, and they do. What they take with them is the Siddur, is the family picture, it's a Sefer Tehillim, and mostly what they have in their hearts, what the years of Beis Yaakov education have given them, of being part of a religious family, that even when everything else is gone, they're still going to be themselves, because if everything else is taken, we still have what we are. We still have what we've learned. We still have what we've accomplished. We still have the work we've done on ourselves. But if what you have is a base of Avodah Zarah, and then you take the Trophim away and you take the coin away, so then what Micha says is, umali od, what do I have? I have nothing left. If you lose the Avodah Zarah, then indeed you have nothing left. But if what we do is serve Hashem, then no one can take that away from us ever. We can have nothing left, but everything is there and everything remains. Everything important remains. Of course, the things we've lost. And indeed, that's how a whole generation of survivors with literally nothing left managed to build up beautiful, beautiful generations to come, and communities, and pass on the Mesorah from everything that they had lost. Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, Vayomru Eilav B'nei Dan, and the people of Dan said to him, Al Tashma Kolcha Imanu, don't raise your voice with us, don't start up with us. Pen Yifku'u Bachem Anashim Marei Nefesh. You're dealing with people here who are bitter, who are looking for a home, who don't have anywhere to live, everyone else is settling, they're not, we're not in the mood of a fight. Vasafta nafshecha v'nefesh beisecha. You might end up dying. Don't start up with us. Micha takes their words to heart, and he goes home. Chazal say that he will reappear much later in Sefer Melachim, in Yeravam's time, as an old man supporting Avodah Zarah. That's still to come. Shevet Dan continue on. They get to Laish and they burn it down. Why do they burn it down? The Radak says something so fascinating, because Laish was full of Avodah Zarah and they couldn't occupy a city that was full of Avodah Zarah, so they burned it down. And again, to drive home the confusion, to create their own version of Avodas Hashem with Avodah Zarah, and they don't consider themselves idol worshippers. Of course not. We can't live in a place that's full of idols. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Vayakimu lahem b'nei Dan es ha-pasal, and they set themselves up at this pasal, this Avodah Zarah, v'yohonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. Here we get his name, and like I spoke about in the last parak, the nun is lifted above the word, so it could be read, or it's meant to look like ben Moshe, but we don't want to embarrass Moshe, we also might want to make a connection with him to Menashe, but this is Yehonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, hu uvanav, it's not just him, but his children, hayu kohanim l'shevet hadani, were kohanim to Shevet Dan ad yom glos haaretz, until the land was taken into exile. Unclear which exile we're talking about. The Abar Brunel says it couldn't possibly be until the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim of the 10 tribes or the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because David and Shlomo HaMelech would not have allowed it to exist. But perhaps we're talking about until the Golos of the Aretz, until Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, which happens at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. However, we do see later that Yeravam, who I just mentioned, would put up an Avodah Zarah in Dan, and there seems to be some sort of connection, meaning he specifically put it in Dan. Well, he wanted it in two centers, and Dan, like I said, was the northernmost place, but perhaps also because B'nai Dan were accustomed to serving Avodah Zarah already, so Yeravam knew that he would be able to get away with putting it there. Yeravam also was confused, meaning he was putting it up to serve Hashem in his own way, like B'nai Dan did, ending up really creating a terrible, terrible situation for the Jewish nation. Interesting, the Gemara says that the Kohen also reappears. Later on, David HaMelech will make him a treasurer, and he's able to refocus his energy into something good. And in the Pasuk, in Divrei HaYamim, he's called Shvuel ben Gershom ben Menashe, who was a Nagid al HaOtzros, who was on top of the treasury. And the Gemara asks, is his name Shvuel? Isn't his name, don't we know him as Yehonasan? And he says, Shavu Kel, he returned to Hashem. He actually did go and do tshuva, whether this is him or one of his descendants. But we see that he managed to pull himself out of it. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayasimu Lahem es Pesel Micha, Asher Asa. Again, striking, but they put Pesel Micha that they made. Kol Yimei Hayos B'nei Ha'elaikim B'Shilai. All the days that the Mishkan was in Shilai. And with this, we conclude the sad story of Pesel Micha, of people who do Yiddishkeit, who do Judaism with their own version, however they feel to do it, of a Kohen who doesn't really believe in what he's doing, has no loyalty, but takes advantage of whatever he can, of leaders who don't take the initiative to do more than what they really need to do, of a generation that doesn't have a leader, Ein Melech B'Yisrael. We conclude Pesel Micha, and tomorrow we will begin the next very, very sad story, which will conclude Sefer Shoftim. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they face living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire families and the families of Klal Yisrael, Nina and Chaim Schenker.